Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and our study at this time is in the book of 2 Corinthians, the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and we want to look at chapters 10 and 11. This is lesson number 9, and as we look at this, we will begin in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I do humbly pray that you will teach us through your Holy Spirit, because we know that is the only way that we can know your word is through your Spirit, Father. And I just ask now, as we come together to study, that you will instill your word into our minds and our hearts, our souls, and help us to live it out, Father, to glorify your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now we'll begin looking at the chapters briefly that we have studied. We're now on chapter 10 and 11. So the first 7 chapters, throughout these chapters, Paul referred to his relationship with the Corinthians, and he asked them to make room in their hearts for Timothy and him, and it was a strained relationship. The Corinthians were restrained or restricted in their affection toward Paul and Timothy. So Paul warned them about being unequally yoked with unbelievers and continuing in their worship for idolatry. Now, chapter 7 connects with chapters 1 and 2. Paul referred to a letter that he wrote which caused sorrow or grief, but it was also repentance. Titus brought news of how they had received it, and Paul rejoiced. And then he ended chapter 7 by saying that he had confidence in them. And then looking at chapters 8 and 9, they are a segment that Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to complete what they had begun a year ago. And he had sent Titus again to stimulate the work, their act of grace. So we want to look now at chapters 10 and 11 and see how that these two chapters fit with these others that we have already studied. So let's begin by reading first the first 6 verses in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. Now, Paul, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. I ask that when I am present, I need not be bold with the confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever whenever your obedience is complete. So, looking now at these first six verses, what is the situation? Paul says they had wrong thinking about him and the Lord. And some thought that Paul lived according to the flesh. And then he brought up war, weapons, and destruction of fortresses or strongholds. Now, the war he was speaking of was against arguments or speculations and the thinking against the knowledge of God. So, what value did Paul place on knowledge? Let's go back and look at 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6, 4 and 6. I'll read that quickly. This is what we studied in chapter 6. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in such patience, in such tribulation, in needs, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, and by sincere love. So we see in these verses that Paul and Timothy showed themselves to be servants of God in knowledge. And Paul commended the Corinthians in saying that they abounded or they excelled in knowledge. Now let's look at 1 Peter verses 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Simon Peter, a bondsman and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. So here we see that the Apostle Peter wrote to believers about grace and peace being multiplied in knowledge. This knowledge was the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus, and He granted believers everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to look at chapter 10, verse 5. And in these verses, he said that there was war to be won by taking thoughts captive to the obedience of God. He said, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So, look at verse 6. What does he say about obedience? He said that he was ready to punish disobedience, but not until the Corinthians' obedience was complete, fulfilled. It seems that he wanted first for the true believers there to understand and to think properly before he did anything about it. And hopefully they would obey before he punished disobedience. Now let's go on and read verses 7 through 11. This is the reality of Paul's authority. You are looking at things as they are outwardly. If anyone is confident in himself that he is Christ, let him consider this again within himself, that just as he is Christ, so also are we. For even if I boast somewhat further about our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be put to shame. For I do not wish to seem as if I would terrify you by my letters. For they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is imperative and his speech corruptible. Verse 11, let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters, when absent, such persons we are also indeed when present. So, what do we see then here in these verses that the Corinthians are doing and what they're thinking? Paul says they're looking at things outwardly. They're looking at what's before their eyes, specifically about Paul's authority. He clearly stated that the Lord gave him the authority to build them up. And then he wrote about his letters, which were weighty and strong, in contrast with his personal presence, which was unimpressive. And some there were saying these things about him, and they said that his speech was contemptible. In other words, they were saying that what Paul was saying was of no account. And so we want to continue now and see what else that they're saying against Paul. Let's read verses 12 through 18. For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us as a measure to reach even as far as you. For we are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach to you, for we were the first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ, not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labors, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be within your fear, entangled even more by you, so as to preach the gospel even to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the fear of another. But he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. Now, let's look at these verses and see what Paul explains in his defense. He said that he didn't compare himself with those that had commended themselves. And they compared themselves with themselves, but they didn't have any understanding, because when they were comparing themselves with themselves, we know that they were not comparing according to what Paul had been preaching. So, what did Paul boast about, and how did he defend his authority? Here we see that he boasted about the fear, S-P-H-E-R-E. Fear means an area that God had apportioned or assigned to him. That's what he was boasting about. And it was a measure to reach with the gospel. See, God had appointed Paul to preach and carry the gospel in certain areas. And he was boasting about what God had given to him. And he reminded them that he was the first to bring the gospel to them. Now, let's look at some cross-reference Scripture, looking at, let's find the Scripture here, in Acts 1 through 5. Paul went to Corinth from Athens, and I'll read this, ministering at Corinth, Acts 18, 1 through 5. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them, Priscilla and Aquila. So, because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. For by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and pursued both Jew and Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the one. So we see here how that God has put Paul in certain areas at certain times. And that's the way that he works in each of our lives. He has certain areas that he places us, and he also has a certain group that he wants us to be a part of and to testify and work with. So the growth then of their faith would enlarge here in this area even more. And he was concerned about their spiritual growth. And he was given authority in this area by God. And he even wanted to go beyond them to other areas to preach and disciple. So he was commended by the Lord, not himself, and therefore he boasted in the Lord. He wasn't boasting in himself, but he was giving God all the glory. And what do we look at as we have completed this study in verses that we have read so far? We're seeing that here that God had a place for Paul, and it showed his authority that he had received this from Christ himself. Now, quickly, I will finish reading 12 through 18, for we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves, compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. Go down to verse 17 and 18. But he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. So Paul is saying, it's not what I do and not what I commend, but it's what the Lord commends. So now let's go on to chapter 11. Before we leave, if you want to put a theme to that chapter, it would be about Paul's authority that he received from Christ. Now let's read verses 1 through 6 of 2 Corinthians 11. I wish that you would bear with me a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. For I consider myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostles. But even if I am unskilled in speech, yet I am not so in knowledge. In fact, in every way, we have made this evident to you in all things. So, what are these verses telling us? How did they further explain what was going on there in Corinth? And how did Paul deal with this in his letter? He was jealous for them to Christ, not jealous against them, but for them to belong to Christ. And he feared that the devil was deceiving them to the point of leading them away from Christ. Paul had great concern about their belief in the gospel, in the truth, and about their obedience to Christ. So some had preached about another Jesus, a different spirit, a different gospel. But Paul gave them true knowledge about the true apostle, about Jesus and the gospel of God. So that's what he was concerned about. And his concern was about their faithfulness to this and their faithfulness to the Lord. Now let's go on verses 7 through 15 in chapter 2, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Chapter 11, 2 Corinthians. And I'll read these next seven through 15. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you without charge? I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to serve you. And when I was present with you, and was indeed, I was not a burden to anyone. For when the brethren came from Macedonia, they fully supplied my need. And in everything, I kept myself from being a burden to you and will continue to do so as the truth of Christ is in me. This boasting of mine will not be stopped in the region of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you. God knows I do. But what I am doing, I will continue to do so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false prophets, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Remember that. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Now let's look at these verses. What are they about? Paul reminded them that he preached to them without even being paid or being supported by them. And other churches had supported him when he was in Corinth. But even when he was in need there, he didn't burden them with that need. Now, we also learned in the book of Acts 18, we learned about what Paul, while he was there in Corinth, that he supported himself. We read these scriptures about working with Aquila and Apollo and Priscilla. And then when Silas and Timothy came, they worked, and Paul spent his time teaching. Now, what did Paul write the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 9, as we studied that chapter, 6 through 18? And I wanted to see if I had that scripture. I don't think I, 6 through 9. So, I didn't have that scripture here, but I'll explain it, what he wrote. He said, men who sow spiritual things among them should reap material things. In other words, because he taught them God's word and spread the gospel, then he should be supported by them while he was there doing spiritual work. But Barnabas, and he didn't use that right because they didn't want to hinder or put an obstacle in the way of the gospel. And also, we studied in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, all about the same thing, that they didn't want anything that they did to hinder from their teaching the gospel. Now let's go back to 11, chapter 11, and see what verses 12 through 15, how they compare with these verses. Verse 12, but what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their words. So, these verses explain a little more in details. Paul, he wouldn't be stopped in his concern for the believers at Achaia, and he loved them. And so these verses 12 through 15 explain how that he would continue to do as he was in Achaia, so false apostles wouldn't have the opportunity to claim the same. And these false apostles, they were deceitful, disguising themselves as Christ apostles, but they were Satan's servants. Now let's look at a cross reference in Galatians. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. This is Paul's writing to the Galatians, and he said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him, Christ, who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed, as we have said before. So now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. So people were following Paul, and they were presenting a different gospel. It was a distortion of the true gospel. So Paul checked out the gospel with the elders and the apostles in Jerusalem to be sure that he was accurate. But there were some false brothers who were teaching and putting people into bondage. Now, also, there's a cross reference of in the book of Titus. And this cross reference is talking about the end will be according, and they will face the judgment according to their deeds. I'm not going to read Titus, but I'll explain what these verses say. If you want to write down the scriptures, it's Titus 1:16. Titus 2:11 through 14, and Titus 3, verse 8. What the scriptures are saying here, that there are people who profess to know God but deny him by the way they live, by their words. So what they do demonstrates that they don't know God regardless of what they say. That was the case with these false apostles at Corinth. Today in this world that we live, we find people can profess with their mouth, their lips, that they are Christians, that they are followers of Christ. But when you look at their fruits, the way that they live every day, then it puts a question of whether they are true apostles or not. And that, even in the early church, remember that this is the early churches. Today, we have lived through centuries of churches, and the gospel is the same as it was in the day that Paul preached the gospel and all the other apostles. But the people, too, were like people. We, too, are like those people in that day. There are some among the church that profess by mouth that they are Christians, but the life that they live, the fruits that they bear, tells a different story. So he goes on to say that believers are redeemed from lawless deeds or lawlessness to be zealous for good deeds or good works. And those who speak and teach believers are to encourage them to do good deeds or good works. And that's what Paul was doing. Now, let's look at verses 16 through 33. No, I'm sorry. Let's look at verses 12 through 18. For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're without understanding. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the fear which God apportioned to us as a measure to reach even as far as you. For we are not overextending ourselves. And I'm sorry, I'm reading in chapter 10, and I apologize. I want to get back, and I want to read verses 16 through 29, I believe. I pulled up the wrong sheet through verse 29. But what I am saying, what I am doing, I will continue to do so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Now let's look at these verses. Here we're looking at what Paul is saying to the church at Corinthians. He's saying here what he is doing, he's continued to do because this was his opportunity to the matter about what they are boasting. He said, there are some among you that are false apostles. They're deceitful workers and they're disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And if they are disguising themselves as apostles, he goes on to say, well, no wonder even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So, therefore, he's saying it's not surprising if his servants, these that are false men of God, They are just like him. They are his servants, and they disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. But in the end, they're going to have to face God according to their deeds. Now let's go on and read 16 through 24. Again I say, let no one think me foolish, but if you do, receive me even as foolish, so that I may also boast a little. What I'm saying, I'm not saying as the Lord would, but as in foolishness, in this confidence of boasting. Since many boast according to the flesh, I will boast also. For you, being so wise, tolerate the foolish gladly. For you tolerate it if anyone enslaves you, anyone devours you, anyone takes advantage of you, anyone exalts himself, anyone hits you in the face. To my shame, I must say that we have been weak in comparison. But in whatever respect anyone else is bold, I speak in foolishness. I am just as bold myself. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. So I'm going to go on and read through 29. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among the false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such eternal things, there is a daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intent concern? So how do we see in these verses that Paul is reasoning with them? In verses 22 through 29 is what Paul experienced while he was serving. All of these hardships, all of these things that he's been through that he speaks of in these verses, he says, if the false apostles were Jews, so was he. He wasn't inferior from them. If they were Christ's servants, so was he. But the things listed in verses 23 through 29 were most likely not experienced by the false prophets. The hardships and the things that he said that he had gone through, and he even said that there was daily pressure of his concern for the churches. He had labeled these things in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. If you go back and look at those verses that we studied in chapter 4, verse 17, to him they were momentary light afflictions in comparison with the eternal weight of glory from faithfully serving the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying that all the suffering, all the afflictions that he had gone through were nothing compared to what God had for him in glory. So how does this end? How does this chapter end? Let's read verse 30 through 33. If I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, He who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the eunuch under Artus the king was guarding the city of the Damascenes in order to seize me, and I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall, and so escaped his hands. And we can go back and read in the book of Acts, in chapter 9, verses 22 through 25, and this is where we learned that he was let down. God took care of him. He suffered for the Lord. I'm going to read verse 22 through 25 of Acts 9. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, and perils of the Gentiles, perils of the city, and perils of the wilderness, perils of the sea, and perils among false brethren, in weariness, in toil, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes up to me daily, my deep concern for all the churches, who is weak and I am not weak, who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation. We see in these verses how that Paul had endured only through the mercy and the love of God. That's what he is saying to the churches. I know that what I do is all for the glory of God. And that's what I'm trying. This is what he's saying to the Corinthians, that he wants them to use him as an example. He wasn't boasting in himself, but he was boasting in Christ. Everything that he suffered, everything that he went through, he said it was all because of Christ. And he helped me to endure it. So this is quite a lesson for us today. And Paul was saying in here that he had been deceived by these that were following and preaching a false gospel, and they were not telling the truth about him. And he was not inferior. He wasn't an inferior apostle. His teaching and preaching was truth. It was from God himself. So that's what we learn now. And looking at a theme, you might want to think about this. It was about deception, and Paul was not inferior, and Paul was not an inferior apostle. He was teaching and preaching for Jesus. Let us close our study today in prayer. Father, I just pray that, beginning with me, that each of us will take to heart the teaching of your word. We know that it came to Paul straight from you. And we know that it's your Holy Spirit that teaches us. And I pray that we won't take this study lightly or any of your word lightly, but let me and each one of us to apply it to our lives, Father, that we may bring you honor and glory, and that others may see Jesus in each of us as we live out our lives. I thank you and I praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.